Well, it is it's good to be back this morning. I meant to give a quick update on my brother. So church family has been praying for my brother, who's a missionary in Uganda. Came home, got really, really sick. Actually, he got sick before they got back and was dealing with some parasites in Uganda. When he got home, or on his way home, he got even more sick, and turns out his body was septic, and he's basically dying. In fact, there was a moment there where we almost lost him, but through the prayers of God's people and through the healing of the Lord, he's okay. And so we're thanking Jesus for how he intervened there, so we can give a good report this morning. And so he's still got a recovery that he's got to go through. He's at home. He was in the ICU for about a week, but now he's home. He's on a pump that pumps IVs into his heart and antibiotics and stuff. So continue to pray for them, and we are thankful that the Lord's. And they're going to be going back to Uganda in September. So they'll be going back full time. Their house will be finished, and they'll be ready to move the family there. So thank you for just for interceding on their behalf. And it's been a crazy couple weeks, but we're very, very thankful. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of, or the letter, 2 Thessalonians. If you've been hanging out with us, you know that we just walked through the first letter to the Thessalonians, and now we're going to jump right into the second letter, Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica. So our family just went on vacation last week, and we go to Tennessee about once a year. Pretty much every year we go to Tennessee, and we camp there. And it's something that we do every year, and we really enjoy it. It's a great time together. And so we just got back this past week, had a great time with the family there in Tennessee. A couple years ago when we were there, we had a storm rush in that came so fast, and so my wife and I, we were in the campground, but we were, about 100 yards or so away from the actual camper. And if you've ever camped before, these campers have these awnings that come down to provide some shade. Well, when big storms come in, you're supposed to put those things in. Well, this storm came rushing in so fast that we didn't even have time to get back to the camper in time, and by the time we got there, the wind had ripped it, all the hardware out, and flipped it on the other side of the camper, and this storm came out of nowhere. And the wind was crazy, and the rain came, and it just came on us so fast. But then just like that, it was over and it was gone. You know, some storms happen that way. They come in super fast, and then they do their thing, and then they breeze through. But this year that we were there, another storm came. And it was just rain. It was some wind, but it was just rain and more rain and more rain and more rain. And it just continued. And the storm just continued to press on. And what we found out later the next day is that it had hit Gatlinburg so hard that it had flooded entire campgrounds and, like, washed campers away and washed. There was, like, cars in the river. Like, it was crazy. And so later on, we were in the river with my girls, and there was, like, camping chairs and stuff that were floating down the river. It was crazy. And that storm just continued on. It just continued. It just felt like the rain was never going to stop. I say that because we're going to now get to the church at Thessalonica, where they've been going through some persecution. They've been going through some trial, and it's continuing. It's pressing on. And so it's when the first letter that Paul sent to the church, it was encouragement because the persecution was coming. Remember, it's a brand new baby church. Paul had just, the gospel was shared there, people were believing, this church was forming, and then persecution was hitting. So hard that Paul had to leave. If you remember when we talked about the setting for 1 Thessalonians, is that Paul was there, and they ran him out of town. You're not welcome here, and so he was gone. But of course, in that aftermath of Paul's absence, the persecution shifted and turned to these new believers. So you think about it, you got a brand new church. They just are now following Jesus. They're followers of the way, and yet now this persecution is happening. So Paul writes them to encourage them, to build them up, to help them understand what's happening. Well, now, a few months later, Paul is writing them once again. So the first letter has been received. Some correspondence has gone back and forth. And now he gets to 2 Thessalonians, and there's some things that Paul needs to correct. There's some continual discouragement over what's going on in their current situation of life. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been in a situation of life that's just discouraging and tiring. And, well, that's where they're at. We're understanding their situation. Theirs is coming from external pressures and in a city that is so ungodly that's pressing in on them and pressuring them to turn and forsake the Lord Jesus. So they're discouraged. The persecution's continuing, and the trouble is lingering on. But there's also some confusion. So he's going to address some confusion that's going on because somebody has come into the church and claiming to either give a letter from Paul or give some word from Paul has told them that the day of the Lord, remember we talked about that in the last several weeks, that the end time, the coming of the Lord Jesus, and they basically had said, sorry, it's already happened and you missed it. So this young church is now confused, like, wait, no, we knew it was going to come like a thief in the night and we missed it? So then they're worried that they've actually missed the day of the Lord, and so Paul has to write them to tell them, no, you haven't missed it, because that day won't come until these other things happen. So we'll get to that in just a few weeks. But he's got to clarify some things to this new church. There's some questions that I think this letter is going to answer and have us diving into. One of the questions is going to be, so what happens when God's timing doesn't match my timing? What happens when evil people seem to prosper and godly people hurt and don't? It's some questions that Paul is going to point their hearts towards. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, I think as I was reading through it again, I think this stood out to me as I would call it more of like a key verse. So I want you to look at it. Chapter 2, verse 16 is actually a prayer that Paul is offering to the church, and it goes like this. He says, now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This prayer that is a good summary of what Paul is trying to, his desire for them and what he's going to ultimately be steering and pointing their hearts to in this next few chapters that we walk through this passage. We're going to be this morning in verses 1-4. And before I read them, I want to kind of tell how we're going to do this. So I was reading through this passage, and it reminded me of a lot about the church around the world, the church right now that's in different countries that are going through things that you and I aren't going through right now, currently in our country, and the persecution and things that are happening all around the world. My plan today was to have my dad come and give him a report because he just got back from Moldova where he was ministering to the refugees in Ukraine. In fact, I haven't been able to get him here since the first trip that he went, and so we've been waiting for a report back to hear how the Lord has been working there. And so I wanted to ask him in just a few minutes. He's going to come up here to share. And as I was reading through the passage, I was like, you know what, Dad? I think you should just preach this rest of this passage. So we're going to tag team this thing today, and I'm just going to have my dad, outside of my wife, also happens just to be my very best friend. And so I'm thankful that we get to do ministry together, and I want to ask him after I read this, then I'm going to have him come up and bring the rest of the word. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1:1-4. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We pray right now as we spend some time walking through it, that that you would take your word and that you would plant it deep inside of our hearts. Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers only, but that we would be doers of the word. So God, do your work in us that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Several years ago, I read about a church, a very famous historic church, that discovered there was a design flaw in their building. Now, by taking measurements, they discovered that the church building was actually starting to shift off of its foundation. Now, by taking measurements, this is what they determined. The church would actually move about 1 inch every so many years. Well, when people heard that, someone said, you know, that really doesn't surprise me, because I have been in churches that move even slower than that. Maybe some of you could say amen to that statement. You've been in some churches like that. Well, the truth is, when we read the Bible and we find out our Lord is building a church, it's not inching its way through history. Oh, no. He's building a church that's pulling down the strongholds of the enemy. He's building a church that's shining the light of Jesus Christ into the darkest places on the planet. He is building a church that's breaking the chains that bind people's souls and populating heaven as people confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and King and God. And I believe that most of us here this morning want to be a part of that church. Amen. Not just moving slowly through history, but being a part of a church that's honoring our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing many souls into the kingdom. That's the kind of church that God was building in this city of Thessalonica. It's also the kind of church that God is building in Moldova, where we just returned. As the church there begins to minister to literally hundreds upon thousands of refugees who are fleeing a war-torn country, looking for some refuge, looking for some hope, and looking for some help. And what better time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and be those people to meet those needs? That's exactly what the churches there are doing. It's been a privilege and a joy to be able to partner with a number of those churches right there on the border of Ukraine. As these refugees come pouring into the country, some days the border is flooded, some days not quite so many. If you've been following the news, we were just 30 miles from Odessa, and just yesterday we understand that Odessa has taken some rockets. They may be the next target from the Russian army. We don't know any of that, but we know this, that in the midst of the trouble and the struggle and the difficulty, that the Church of Jesus Christ, God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, are there to meet the needs of some very broken people, much like this church at Thessalonica. When the Apostle Paul was writing to this church, notice he said several things about their faith, about their commitment, about their walk with God. In verse 3, he says that you have a growing faith, a faith that's exemplified through spiritual growth. You're moving forward in your walk with God. You know, it brings the question, how does our faith grow? We all know that faith is a gift from God, but how does it grow? How does it mature? Well, several ways. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, well, you do know your Bible, don't you? It comes by the Word of God. We have a choice. We can fill our hearts and our minds with what God has said in His Word and stand on His truth, or we can choose to listen to the philosophies of this world. We can choose God's standard and God's Word, or we can listen to the devil's lies. It all depends on what we fill our hearts and our minds with. God's called us to be a people of faith. It also comes not only from the Word of God, but it comes from the work of God. Because as God's people, can we not look back over the years and see how God has been faithful in every situation and in every circumstance in our lives? And if He's always been faithful then I promise you on the authority of His Word, He will be faithful now. And so He says to this church, you have a growing faith. Working with the churches in Moldova, one particular church that we've been connected with is called Jesus Savior Church. It's the largest church in Moldova. pastored by a dear brother by the name of Vitaly. Everybody knows and loves Vitaly. He's a giant of a man. He's also a giant of the faith. Over the months, since the war began, hundreds of refugees have passed through their church building. They have fed them. They've housed them. They've cared for their physical needs. They've given them Bibles. They've shared with them, most of all, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Right now, there are 60 refugees who are living in their church facilities. They have stopped all of their programs and put everything else on hold to simply meet the needs of this people. Last Friday, and by the way, they're feeding these people breakfast, lunch, dinner. Last Friday, their resources were expended. And Vitaly stood before that group of 60 refugees and he said, "I don't know what else we're going to do, but our cupboards are bare. But somehow we believe that God is going to make a way." That was just last Friday. That very day, a local restaurant showed up with enough food to feed those 60 refugees, and then they made this promise. From here on out, we are going to provide every meal for these refugees as long as we possibly can. Just growing in faith, believing and trusting God, even when it doesn't make sense. So they have a growing faith. But not only that, they have an abounding love. That's what Paul said to this church. Your love for each other is growing. Is that not what our Lord Jesus said that we are to be as his disciples? You remember when our Lord said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, by the way you help me, the way you love each other." That's the distinguishing mark of a child of God. Where does this love come from? We can't manufacture it. We can't produce it on our own. The Bible says, we love because he first loved us. Romans 5:5 says it this way, "And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is poured into our hearts by his Holy Spirit." And every one of us who've experienced the love of God now know what it means to be able to love other people. Not with our own human fleshly love, but with that divine love the Bible calls agape love that I have seen on display in marvelous ways right there at the border of Ukraine. One dear lady fleeing the death and destruction of her own country, walking with whatever she could hold in her arms, crossed the border and met one of our pastors there. They offered her a warm meal. They provided her transportation. They offered her lodging if she needed it. And she summed it up so well when she said to our pastor, "I just walked out of hate, but I have walked into love." Folks, that's who we are. Amen. That's who we are. That's what God has called us to be. An expression and extension of his love that he has poured out on us at Calvary. Demonstrating his love for us on a cross. Dying for our sins. Taking our place and our punishment. And then thankfully, gloriously rising again. So that we get to be his hands and feet in this broken world, an expression of his love. And so every day these churches are going to the border. Every day. You know who's there? It's not the Red Cross. It's not the United Nations. It's the church of the Lord Jesus. It is God's people who are there with open arms and open hearts to say, "How can we meet your needs today?" Isn't that what God's called us to be about? Now, you may not join me at the border of Ukraine, but I promise you, there are broken hearts and broken people all around us who just need to know that somebody cares and that in Jesus' name, somebody loves and wants to make a difference. Could I get an amen in the house? His love extended through us to touch the hurts and the hearts and the brokenness of the people all around us, whether it's at the Ukrainian border or to a next door neighbor, the heart of God expressed through us. That's what Paul is saying to this church. He's saying, you have this growing faith, you have this abounding love. And then he says, you have this enduring patience. In the midst of the trial and the difficulty and the persecution and all that you're going through, he's saying, you're enduring, you're standing steadfast. You're not quitting, you're not giving up, you're not caving in. You know, again, I see that expressed so well through the churches there at the border. I know that what's going on there doesn't make sense. And the truth is, they have no idea how long it's going to last. How long will the bombs fall? I remember talking with one of the refugees' families as we were meeting with her and praying with her and her children. She said, every day we heard the missiles soaring overhead. And she said, I wanted to grab up my children and just run. She said, where could I run to? There's no place safe in this city where those missiles could not fall. And so finally, gathered up her children and made her way to the safety of that refugee center. How long? They don't know. How long is the war going to last? How long is the suffering going to take? When is it all going to end? And the truth is, nobody knows. And Paul would say to this church, you're enduring, your steadfastness, your ability to persevere, even when you don't know what's coming around the next corner, but you know this, there's a God in heaven who's faithful. And he has us in his grip. I have a pastor friend who used to sign his letters. All of us, we don't send letters anymore, do we? It's always an email or a text. But he used to sign all of his letters, not sincerely yours or yours in Christ. He always signed his letters in his grip. Do you know that's where we are as God's people? As a follower of the Lord Jesus, if you belong to him today, you are in fact in his grip. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10, verse 28. He said, I give to them, speaking about those of us who've placed our trust in him, I give to them eternal life. Next statement, and they'll never perish. That's a great promise, amen. Never perish. And then he made this statement. And no one will ever take them out of my hand. You think about that statement. How firm, how strong is the grip of Jesus Christ? So strong and so mighty that he keeps the stars in their sockets in the sky. So strong and so mighty that he keeps the planets in their orbit in the universe. And if he is that mighty and so strong that he can control all of that in the grip of his hand, then bless God, he can take care of whatever's coming your way. That's a good place for an amen. In his grip. Last night, I sat in our home with our newest grandbaby. Those of you who follow our family know that we have a lot of grandchildren. Y'all know that? I always enjoy speaking in new churches where they don't know our family, and I'm able to say I have 5 children and 25 grandchildren, and I can always enjoy the reaction of the congregation. You know, I get that when I'm speaking in places where they don't know us. Well, our 25th, who is just now 12 weeks old, little Ainsley, was in my lap last night, just enjoying some time with her, and held up my little fingers, my fingers like this. And you know what she did? She wrapped her little fingers around mine. I was amazed at how strong that little girl is. Just felt her just gripping and squeezing my finger. Now, some of you have done this with your children or grandchildren because, you know, when they get to a certain point, they're testing their strength. Maybe they're toddling around the house and, you know, it's just kind of grip everything. And so here's what you do. I know you've done this. I've done it with mine. You bend down for a moment. You hold out your hands just like this, and they do what? They latch on. Now, do you know what you do next? Y'all don't know? Sure you do. You lift them up. All right. Don't look at me as if I'm the only one who's ever done that. You lift them up, and they're just holding on because they think they are so strong. But you know what happens. The longer you hold them there, you notice that their grip is not quite so strong and not quite so developed. And so they begin to loosen their grip. Now you tell me what you do next. Do you just stand there and watch them hold on for dear life until finally they let go and you go, pum? Well, bless his heart, he held on longer than I thought he would. No, you don't do that. Of course not. When their grip weakens, your grip, strengthens and tightens. You know why? Because you are not about to let that little one fall. Not going to happen. Not on your watch. Dear one, God's word says we're in his grip. And I don't know what you're walking through right now. I know what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine are walking through because I've seen it firsthand. I don't know what's around the next corner in your life or in your family. I don't know what the next emergency or crisis is going to bring. But I know this, on the authority of God's word and our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, you as a child of God are in his grip. And that's always a great place to be. I want us to pray together in just a moment. And I know that there are a lot of needs represented here in this church family this morning. Every one of us has something that we're dealing with. Something that needs some prayer attention, a prayer focus. Some clarity, some direction, some grace, some mercy poured out. I know that in our lives over the last several weeks, it just seems like the enemy has aimed his big guns at us, and it just seems to be pounding away, and yet to know that we are yet in his grip. And if you don't have anything else to pray about or no one else to pray for, if you would just join me in praying for our brothers and sisters in Moldova who are caring for the needs of these refugees day in and day out, just putting everything else on hold so that they can be the hands and feet of Jesus and love these people to the cross. You know, many of these Ukrainians are coming into Moldova and coming into the churches as unbelievers, but they're hearing the message of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and many of them are coming to the Lord and being born into God's family and receiving God's love and forgiveness into their own lives. We had the privilege on a number of occasions to speak to groups of refugees and just remind them, God loves you. You're not alone. And Jesus gave his life on a cross for you and rose again to give you eternal life. And you can know Jesus Christ today. And we're seeing numbers of them come to faith, even in the midst of their dark hour. If you don't have anything else to pray for, maybe you would just join me in praying for the church in Ukraine, the church in Moldova, and those who are ministering to their needs. So could we just go to the Lord right now in prayer during this time of invitation, and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and as our team comes to lead us in worship, if you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you've got doubts about your relationship with him, I want to invite you right now to just throw open the door of your heart to ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. You know, the Bible makes it so beautiful and yet so simple when the scripture says, And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise to you. It means I'm willing to turn away from my sin and put my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. Not in my good works, not in my best efforts, but in a sacrifice that was made on my behalf by the spotless Lamb of God who died in my place and rose again. And he'll save you today if you'll call on him. In a moment, our pastor, Brother Jared, is going to be standing right here. If you've never made that decision, I want to invite you to make your way down one of these aisles in just a moment, take him by the hand and say, "Preacher, today I want to know Jesus." Just as simple as that. Today I want to know Jesus Christ. Most of us would say, "Preacher, I made that decision. I know I'm saved. I settled that a long time ago. But I'm dealing with some stuff in my life or in my family, or I have friends that are struggling through some issues right now, carrying some burdens, and I just want to come and pray on their behalf." Then there's a place that we call an altar where you can just come and kneel and pray, or again, pray with Pastor Jared. And maybe some of us just want to get on our knees around this altar and pray for the suffering church, the persecuted church, not just in Ukraine, but literally all over the world where God's people suffer because they've bowed the knee to Jesus Christ and not to some earthly kingdom. And as a result of that, they are targets of persecution. And we may want to just come and kneel around this altar praying that God would enable them and strengthen them and uphold them during their time of struggle and difficulty. So, Father, thank you for these moments together. I pray that you would work by your Spirit upon our hearts. We thank you for your promises that every one of them are true and that none of them have ever failed, because you never fail. So, Lord, today we just lay our lives before you, and we pray that you would make us those kinds of people with a growing faith, with a love that abounds, and to endure to the very end, because you have us in your grip. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.